Good to have each of you with us tonight. All right, tonight we're going to be looking at another one of our principles for proving, and the key verses we're looking at here once again are our theme verses for the whole little series is there in 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 and 22, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. All right, now as we dig into this tonight here as way of introduction, first of all, God requires that we examine all that we do or that we plan to do, sift it through the grid of the Bible, hold fast that which is good, and abstain from all that fails God's approval. Many situations in life are not clearly addressed in the Bible. However, the Bible has numerous principles that reveal God's mind on every questionable topic. Our job is to find the Bible principles and apply them. And this is really at the core of what we're looking at in this little series is to try to get into the Bible and find principles from the Bible that can help us make the right decisions in life. And that's so very important. Remember that these principles are not rules, but they're tools. All right, so they're to help us, to guide us, and to give us instruction. Now tonight we're going to be studying the wedge principle. And the key verse that I want us to focus on tonight is here in Romans 13, 14. It says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Many times we do things that make provision for the flesh, that make it easier to do what's wrong. They make it simpler or lead us more in the wrong direction. And God wants us to avoid those kind of things here, and that's why he says we're to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make that provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now, as we consider the wedge principle, first of all, we need to know what a wedge is. You know, sometimes people aren't as familiar with the farm-type things and things of out in, you know, we live in the city, so you don't use wedges very much in the city. But a wedge is something that forms a crack and opens the crack wider as it advances. All right, it's this triangle-shaped piece of material. And this picture here is a very typical picture of a wedge, and very similar to what I used many times as a teenager. When we used to split wood, we'd use a wedge like this, drive it down to the wood, and pop it open. Other times we would use an axe that was shaped like a wedge, and it was pretty heavy, and you'd swing that thing down there and do the same thing. As soon as it hit, it just shoved it open because of the width of the axe. It was a splitting maul or splitting wedge that we would use for that project. Now, a wedge makes something small get bigger. That's the principle that we're looking at here tonight. So it makes something that's small get bigger. And as we look at that, I think you'll see what we're talking about. Now, what then is the wedge principle? All right, now, in a sense, in a spiritual sense here, the wedge is any activity that may seem harmless when it's small, but could open a crack to something that makes things worse. All right? So we're going to look at a lot of different things tonight that, you know, in and of themselves, they may be small. You think, well, that's no big deal. That's just harmless. That's not going to hurt anything. But you get involved in it, and it spreads, and it gets bigger. And that is typical with so many different things. You know, even like, I remember years ago, we planted some blackberries. Well, blackberries can be very invasive and almost like a wedge. You plant one of them, the next thing you know, they're coming up all over the place and roots are coming up over here. Hang on, now we got to get rid of these things before they take over. And we pull them all out because they would just spread underneath the ground and come right up, kind of like kakui and stuff. You know, it just comes all over the place, spreads all over. And that's invasive. So a little bit is harmless, but all of a sudden you got a lot bit and you think, what am I going to do? It's all over the place. And that's a wedge type principle in a different type of a format, but the same kind of thing. A wedge may lead to temptation, to sinful habit, to a destructive path, or to regret. You know, many times you get involved in something that was little, you think, oh, this isn't going to hurt anything, and next thing you know, it's taken over and it's just really caused you heartache. And so these are the things we're looking at here. Now, we want to be able to avoid those kind of things in our lives that can cause those kind of situations to come up. Now, applying the wedge principle to an activity, how do we do that? Well, first of all, ask yourself if this activity could be a wedge activity. Is this something that could lead to a wedge? Could my involvement in this activity take me further than I ought to go? All right, so whatever it may be. We look at that situation and say, could this take me further than I'm planning to go? Is it something that I'm not anticipating? And then could this activity become a habit or an addiction that would be sinful? You know, my heart goes out to so many people that are addicted to cigarettes and stuff. I mean, most people, I mean, I've truthfully, maybe you've met somebody, but I've never met anybody that said, you know, it would be so cool to be addicted to cigarettes. I want to smoke. Most people say, come on, be a man. You could suck one down once. And they start just being dared to or being afraid not to be like everybody else. And the next thing they know, they're addicted to it. And that's tragic because it was just something little. And they weren't planning on it. That wasn't what they wanted. They didn't want that. And I think the same thing is probably true with drug addicts. I mean, I don't think any drug addict says, you know, I'd sure like to be a heroin addict. You know, I've always kind of dreamed of being a heroin addict. Now, I don't think anybody in their right mind does that. But yet, it a little tiny bit, and the next thing you know, they're into a bad situation that has grown much worse. And so that's kind of an extreme situation, but the principle there is the same. Now, not only do we need to ask about this activity, but we need to identify any potential bad results of the activity. What things could happen if I did this activity? You know, what are the things that other people, you know, sometimes maybe the extremes, you say, well, I wouldn't do that. I'm strong. I would. But what are some of the extremes that does sometimes happen? We need to ask ourselves those kind of questions. Are there any sins that could, that this could lead to? If I'm involved in this particular thing, could that lead to a sinful situation that I think I'm strong enough to handle, but that's a good question to ask. Let's take alcohol, for example. You know, what are some of the potential wedges in this situation? Well, one of them is an addiction. Right? Everybody knows that alcohol is very addictive. Another thing is a waste of family income. It's tragic that so many homes are suffering today because they get their money, and as soon as they do, they go out and buy booze with it, and it wrecks their family, and it wastes the money that they desperately need. In other words, the ungodly words and behavior. I mean, we've all heard neighbors and their parties, and you know, you can always tell when they're starting to get drunk because the volume goes up 3 notches, and they start acting stupid and saying crazy things, and it gets fouler and wilder as the more drunk they get. And alcohol has a way of going in the wrong direction. It's going to lead to ungodly behavior. Bad testimony before family and unbelievers. You know, if a Christian was involved in that, and you know, what kind of a testimony is that for unbelievers? What kind of testimony is that before family? You know, and what's the family going to think of all these things, and how is that going to affect them? So we need to think of all these things. Now, another question is if you find that an activity may be a wedge, we need to admit it in our heart that it is a dangerous activity. I guess that wasn't a question, but it's a statement here. If we can see that this is going to cause me problems, or there's potential to that. And see, again, we're saying it. You know, not everybody that drinks is going to become an alcoholic or a drunk or all that, but these are things that often happens with that one example, but that example applies to so many other areas. And so, whatever the activity may be, if it could become a wedge, we need to admit that in our heart and that it is a potential danger. All right, so if we were not willing to even admit that and say, well, you know, so-and-so might have a hard time with that, but I am strong and I'm never going to let that bother me. No, it won't hurt me any. Well, that's not being very wise. That's being very foolish. And we need to admit that it, in our heart, that it is a dangerous activity and there's potential there for problems. All right, now, applying the wedge activity, we need to avoid every wedge activity. You know, that when there's something like that, and if an activity may become a wedge activity, then that will lead into a greater environment that could be harmful or sinful, then we should avoid the activity. Right. So we need to look to that end. God does not want us to think that we're strong enough to keep the wedge from opening the crack. Right. And sadly, that's what often happens. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. So many times people think, I am strong, I can handle this, I'm not going to get involved in it, and it's not going to bother me, and I can take a little of this, and I'm never going to let it go more than that. And sometimes people actually are able to do that, but that is a dangerous way of looking at it, because there's that potential. And in times of weakness, many times people that thought they were strong in times of weakness, they caved in and they did more than they were used to. And next thing they know, they're addicted to something, or they got a bad testimony, or they have done something foolish, and they've wrecked their testimony in some way, and it's been harmful to them. Johnny?
It's just interesting in regards to like thinking that something, I mean, doing something in your life, and thinking from a human perspective that, oh, I'd be fine, I can handle the situation. It's just interesting because I was reading this, you know, last week about, like, guys like Abraham and some of the patriarchs in the Bible. There were times where God gave them direction in life, but they stubbornly wanted to do things their own way. And in sometimes when you read about it, God didn't necessarily, you don't always see God condemning it or saying it's sin and I'm not going to bless you. So they're not necessarily sins, but at the same time, they were not ideal things that God wanted them to do. So, not sin, but at the same time, you know, God sometimes does allow some of his people, especially in the Old Testament, to kind of have their way because of the hardness of their heart. And then, unfortunately, as a downside, it's not necessarily like the technical sins, but it is something that they have to deal with the consequences because it's not the ideal thing that God wanted them to have.
And you know, sometimes too, then with this situation, it may not become a problem in our lives, but if it becomes a problem with those that we've our influence on, especially like our children, you know, you look at in some of those Old Testament examples, and they, in one generation, they started going the wrong direction. They started, for example, Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was a good king, but he made friendships with Ahab, and he made an alliance with Ahab. And the alliance with Ahab was to marry his son, Jotham, I believe it was Jotham, to Athaliah. Very, very bad situation. And he could have looked at it and said, well, you know, it's no big deal. I just need this alliance with Ahab, and we're friends and want to make sure that we keep on good terms. We don't need any battles between the two of us, and it won't hurt anything. And yet, you look at what happened in history. You know, Athaliah became a real witch, and she became the only queen of Israel, and she led them into wicked, wicked idolatry because of the influence of her father, Ahab, and Jezebel. And so, it was something that even though for Jehoshaphat it seemed like a little thing, it became a bigger thing with his son and a bigger thing yet with his grandchildren, and the results of that and just escalated. And so, sometimes it may not even, the wedge principle may not necessarily involve our lives personally, but the lives of those that we influence. And so that's very good. Appreciate your input there, John Ray. All right, now, consider some examples. We're going to look at several different examples. Could this friend hurt my walk with God? You know, that's a good question to ask ourselves. Could my friend, this friend, whatever a friend may be, you know, you think of your friends, and could this particular friend hurt my walk with God? And if so, that is another, allowing a wedge, you're allowing a crack there and letting it split open a little bit and say, well, you know, this isn't the best friend, but I'll be okay and they won't influence me. Well, what does God say there? 1 Corinthians 15:33, he says, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. He says that if we have a friend that is not what they ought to be, they're going to corrupt our character. And we need to be very careful about that. That's nothing to joke about. It's something very serious, and God's given us warning. Another thing, could this substance become a habit or addiction? Right? It could be drinking a glass of wine. It may be a social beer. It may be smoking a cigarette or an illegal drug. Whatever the case may be, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. You know, these are the kind of things that the devil uses to war against our soul. And there's a lot of other things as well that we could add to that list. But if it's something that the devil uses to war against our soul, to fight against our soul, to fight against our walk with God, we need to abstain from those fleshly lusts and stay away from them completely so that the devil doesn't have that tool there to use. Now, the next one, could unfiltered internet lead to pornography addiction? You know, there is an epidemic of pornography addiction today. And tragically, it's a huge problem in many Christian circles as well. That is tragic. And yet, we've got something today that you know, 20, 30 years ago didn't exist. That kind of rubbish is available easily on the internet for anybody, kids and all. And what are we going to do? We need to filter our internet. You know, many good men have fallen, and filters on phones and computers are wonderful protections. You know, I use a program called Custodio. Highly recommended. It's only about $35 a year for, I think, four or five appliances, or whatever you want to call them, like your computer and your phone and various things like that.
Devices,
that's the one I wanted. Thank you. But it's a great tool. It doesn't slow my machine down. It doesn't, you know, the only thing it does is occasionally I'll do a search for something and it doesn't like something that was in the search and it just says, you know, block the search. But most of the time, I mean, I can carry on as normal. And that is a very helpful thing because then I don't have to worry about that stuff accidentally popping up because of just something that I didn't word quite right. You know, Psalm 101 verse 3 says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. And so there's a principle there God wants us to follow. Sure, we can use the internet without a filter, but that's like allowing a wedge in there. And that little wedge, you know, all it takes is a little crack, and then next thing you know, well, it's cracked a little wider. And I know people that have absolutely ruined their lives by that. It's tragic. Good people ruined their lives with that. And that's not what we want. So we need to be careful. That's another good example where we need to be guarded. And here's another one. Could this enjoyment take me further than God wants me to go? You know, for example, young couples holding hands and kissing. All right? 1 Corinthians 7 verse 1 says, now concerning the things whereof I wrote unto you, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. All right? That's a good principle for us to guard. I like what Evangelist Rich Tozer said, and he was absolutely right. He says these, and he was referring to this topic. He said, these may seem harmless, but they never satisfy. They never satisfy. And Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 3 and 4 says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. So God wants us to be on guard. God wants us to be careful. And there's another example of something we need to be very frugal about. Yes, sir?
Just the word convenient there, does it have more meaning than just the generic way we perceive the word convenient? Like, when we think about convenience in the English language, it's just like, oh, convenience. But that probably has a bit more depth to it.
I'd have to look the word up, and I don't have it right in front of me. So I couldn't tell you right off the top of my head. But you're probably right. It may have more in it than just our typical word for it. Okay, some other examples. Could viewing callous my heart or my child's heart? All right, so could this viewing, whatever you're watching, all right, a callous is slowly formed tough surface that loses sensitivity. You know, you've had calluses maybe on your hands. When we worked on the farm as a kid, we had thick calluses on our hands, you know, from, you know, working in the farm all the time. And those thick calluses were a blessing because then we wouldn't get blisters nearly as easy. But they also were toughened. I mean, you could take we just for kind of goofing around as teenagers, we used to take a pin. You could just drive the pin right through that callus and you wouldn't feel a single thing. And you didn't have the pin sticking right through and coming out the other side. You wouldn't feel a thing because it was tough. It was a hardened, deadened skin. But those calluses, though they have some benefits in some ways physically, spiritually a callus can be very harmful. It may be watching a video that has just a few swear words, just like or just a little immodesty or just a little smoking or just a little gambling. You know, those things, you watch that stuff for a while, and after a while it's like, oh, that's no big deal. You know, I mean, everybody's doing that. And we just ignore it and it becomes a callus and you don't even think about it anymore. But it's still there. It's still having an influence on us, but we don't think about it anymore because we've seen it so many times. And it forms a callus over us spiritually. It may be playing violent video games or games with demonic characters. You know, lots of kids do that, and sadly a lot of Christian kids do that kind of thing. They're allowed to play violent games or demonic games, and so many of these games, the graphics are so vivid anymore that they're so very realistic. And you know, just the things you see advertised in the paper or in even shop windows and stuff, almost always there's some woman in there that's got almost nothing on, and you say, oh, she's just a cartoon character. Well, that doesn't make a whole lot of difference when they got them so detailed in their form and shape these days, and she's there with almost nothing on. They're playing this game, you know, with this almost naked woman. Not a good thing. So all these things are things we need to think about. You know, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 14 says, happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. So very important for us to consider the callous aspect of a wedge. Then could this questionable activity lead my children astray? You know, maybe telling questionable jokes, maybe attending a questionable party or wearing clothing that is borderline immodest or going to the cinema or swimming at the public beach or loads of other things. Could this have an influence in a wrong direction on my children? It could it lead them astray? Could it lead them in a way that would cause them to fall away from the Lord someday? We need to be thinking about those things. Another great quote by Brother Tozer here is that what parents allow in moderation, their children tend to excuse in excess. And that is very true. It is very true. As a parent, what we allow in moderation, our kids are going to do in excess. And not always, but that's a tendency. And it is something that has happened again and again and again. All right. Then could this choice open the door to sin? Another question to ask ourselves. You know, being alone in a car with the opposite gender other than your spouse or your kids is not wise. You know, it's not wise to do that. And I mean, you know, people do it all the time. You know, they're just giving somebody a ride, giving somebody a lift. But it's not a wise thing. It's not a wholesome thing. It's something that's putting a temptation there that could get us in trouble. Skyping or texting with the opposite gender about intimate things is not wise. That is a very foolish, unwise thing to do. Romans 13, 14 says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So God said, don't make a provision for the flesh. We need to keep away from those kind of things that are making a door, opening a door for that. It's that little wedge that's opening up. Next question, could this carelessness lead to long-lasting regret? And that's something that we a lot of times don't think about. But could this thing that I'm about to do lead to long-lasting regret? Being a lenient or soft parent, allowing the child to get away with disobedience, leads to big problems. That's just one application of this, but there's so many applications of that. Sometimes we just make excuses for sin and just being careless and thinking it's not going to matter. It's just a little thing. It won't hurt anything. And next thing you know, bang, it snaps like a snake and bites us and we're in big trouble. Loads of people have gotten in big trouble over things like that, just being careless. Proverbs 29, verse 15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. And so, like I said, this is only one application of the carelessness, but there's a lot of other things that we could put into that same category of carelessness in our own habits, the things that we do. Maybe it's something a place we go or the things we say. Just careless little things that could get us into long-lasting regret. All right? Could this neglect make me cool off spiritually? All right, it may be missing church once in a while, skipping Bible reading occasionally, not praying regularly. You know, these are all things that are headed in a wrong direction. And we might say, well, it's only a little thing. I only skip my Bible reading today. You know, I'll make up for it tomorrow. And that kind of thing. But it's a step in the wrong direction. Proverbs 28, verse 9 says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. So God says, if we turn our ear away from hearing what he said, in other words, we're not spending time with God. Sometimes it's just, no, I don't want to listen to that. I don't want what God said. That's really a blatant turning away. But we also turn away our ear by just not even listening. But, you know, sometimes we can even come to church. And I mean, I've been there, done that. You're sitting there and you're listening, but part of your thoughts are going in some other direction and you're listening a little bit of what's being said and you got kind of dual thoughts going on all the time, and when it's all done and said, you think, I don't know what he said too much today, but I was there. And, you know, that's exactly what he's talking about, turning our ear away from hearing what God has to say. And he says, even God says, your prayer is going to be an abomination to me. He says, God says, I have no obligation to listen to you when you do that, or to me when I do that. And so we need to be very careful about that, whether it's our personal time with God or whether it's time at church or whether it's something of that nature. Could this thought lead to a wicked sin? You know, our thoughts can get us in a lot of trouble. And we need to be very careful about our thoughts. One preacher once said, if you think about something long enough, eventually you'll do it. That's a scary thought. And I remember way back in Bible college, you know, some 40 years ago, when I heard the preacher say that. That really stuck in my mind. Because I knew sometimes I had thought about things that weren't very good. And he says, you think about something long enough, you'll eventually do it. And that ought to scare us good, because that is a dangerous thing. That's another one of those wedges. You think about it long enough, it'll wedge open a little more, wedge open a little more, wedge open a little more. Next thing you know, that's why there's so many people that get involved in terrible things. They didn't plan on it. It wasn't what they were intending, but it just kind of one thing led to the next. The next thing you know, they're involved in something that they never would have dreamed they got into. And that's because their thoughts weren't right. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, God says, the way we think is what we really are. There's another way of saying that. You're not what you think you are, but what you think you are. And it's kind of a play on words there, but really it's what we think that really is what we really are. You know, we can say all kinds of things and talk real spiritual and talk real pious, but if in our heart we've been thinking things that were rotten, then we're really rotten whether we talk nice or not, because it's deep down inside. And so we need to be very careful about that, that it doesn't wedge in there. And, you know, that's an area of our lives where the devil can easily trick us into thinking it's no big deal. Nobody knows about it but you. It's only a little dinky thought. It's not hurting anything. It won't cause any problems. But God says it will, and we need to be very careful about our thoughts as well as everything else. So our thoughts are very important. Mark chapter 7, these are a couple of great verses that deal with the same thing. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. He said all of those things come from the heart. Come from deep down inside. So when someone swears and blasphemes God's name, it came from inside. Sometimes they may say, oh, sorry, I don't know how that came out. That's not what I usually talk. The reason it came out is because that's what's inside. It won't come out if it's not inside. You know, and our pride, oh, that's a killer. You know, the reason our pride comes out is because pride's inside. And oh, how we need to quash that. And it takes a lot of work to do that. Lasciviousness is just uncontrolled, lustful thoughts. Wickedness, deceit, covetousness, wanting something that's not ours, and even theft and murders and all those kind of things. He said it all comes from deep down inside. They've been thinking about that kind of stuff. People don't do those things without thinking about them first. It isn't just all of a sudden, you know, that something snaps inside and they just start doing terrible, wicked things. You know, it's stuff that's been going on inside. You know, I think about some of the mass murders that we've heard in years gone by. There was one there in America years and years ago where a high school kid went in and shot a bunch of his classroom mates. And he admitted, you know, he'd been thinking about this for a long time and thinking, you know, and he had all these kind of thoughts in his mind, and he wore a special t-shirt that day that had to do with evolution because he was, you know, getting rid of the inferior races that he didn't like and things of that nature. And he it was all planned. It was all part of his thoughts and his mind, and his internet viewing had been corrupt and filled with all that kind of stuff. And, you know, that's so true. God says it comes from deep down inside. And so we need to be very cautious about our mind, because it can lead us astray. Then what should we do about a wedge activity? Well, I think that's pretty obvious, but just think through that. Truly, we need to desire to glorify God in all that we do. Folks, listen, if that's not our desire, all that I've said tonight is a waste of time. Because if we don't truly desire to glorify God with all that we do, then it's really not going to matter. I'm going to do what I want to do anyway. And I don't really care about what God wants. I'm going to do what I want to do. You can say whatever you want, and I'll be careful, and I'll be fine, and I'll be okay, and I'm not going to do all that kind of silly stuff. But if we truly have a passionate desire to glorify God, then that's what's going to matter. And we're going to say, I've got to watch what I do. Then we need to ask the Lord for wisdom in identifying those wedge activities. Yes, Peter.
Everything you've said so far is great.
Yep.
But it actually goes further than that.
Yep.
I shared a week or two ago about stamp collecting.
Yep.
And it became a problem for me. Now, I would not have known that stamp collecting would be a problem. It doesn't look like a wedge activity, but it turned out to be so.
Yep.
I could be driving to work and then enjoy driving so much I decide to take up motor racing, and then I might start stealing cars, and, you know, who knows? I might go shopping and one day decide to start stealing stuff off the shelves. You know what? It isn't always obvious what a wedge activity is before you start sort of using it.
Yep. And see, that's why we really need to ask the Lord for wisdom. I mean, we got to ask God because, you know, and there's another thing. There may be things that you face in your life that would be dangerous wedge activities that I wouldn't even cross my mind. There may be things that I face in my life that you wouldn't ever cross your mind. Because we all have individual lives. We all have individual character and individual interactions with things. And so what Peter said is absolutely true. We need God's wisdom in identifying those activities. And sometimes it may seem like something absolutely harmless. And as Peter said, stamp collecting, there's nothing wrong with collecting stamps. But at the same time, it can become a passionate addiction almost, like, and take over. And, you know, all kinds of things in our lives can do those kind of things. You know, having a friend is not bad. But if that friend is not a godly Christian, then the influence that they have on you is not going to be helpful. And that's something we need to always be watching, because you spend time with someone who is less godly than you are. And what does God say? He says that you will pick up their characteristics. He says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. So we're supposed to be sharpening our friends, and they're supposed to be sharpening us. But if they're not sharpening us, and they're dulling us, and every time we're around them, they're gossiping or criticizing, or they're saying things they shouldn't say, or they're doing things they shouldn't do, or their lifestyle isn't what they ought to be, then we need to be very careful. They're going to lead us the wrong direction. Seeking God's mind as to what is a wedge in my life is something very, very important. We need to get on our knees and ask God. Making a list of all the activities that would be maybe wedge activities in your life. And as I said, your list may be different than my list. I think we'd have some that would be similarities, but there may be things that you would face that wouldn't be a problem to me. And the other way around. And so we need to make a list. Now, why would we need to make that list? Why would that be important to make some kind of a list, either mentally or even literally making a list? Sasha?
So it causes you to actively reflect on the things that are in your life?
Yeah. It causes you to just think about it, because so many times we just kind of, you know, oh yeah, I wouldn't do that. We just kind of push it out of our mind and not even really think about it. But when you stop and think, what is this activity doing to me? Is it helping me or is it hurting me? Or could it hurt me? And so we need to ask ourselves those kind of things. And, you know, even like some kinds of little temptations. You know, there may be a little sin that seems like we know deep down inside it's not right. But we think it's no big deal. It's not going to destroy me. But many times those little tiny things, next thing you know, you go a little further, a little further, a little further. And then it becomes something that is disastrous and can cause great, great danger and harm. So then willingly avoid all potential wedge activities. You know, once we've made a list, once we say, yeah, here's my list of things that I know, these are situations, these are people, these are activities, these are substances, whatever it may be, these are the things that are the potential wedges in my life. I want to stay away from those. Why? Because I want to glorify God. And I want to do what pleases God. And so we need to just make a choice to stay away from them. It is better to be safe than sorry. That is so true. And I'm sure there are countless people today that if you gave given them the opportunity, they would say, it's better to be safe than sorry. Because they look back on something that they got involved in, they thought it was going to be nothing, they thought it was going to be no problem, and the next thing you know, it's caught them and trapped them and destroyed their life. And they say, oh, I wish I could turn the clock back, and I wouldn't have done that. And so we need to be very careful and cautious with that. Okay, then as we wrap it up here tonight, Solomon wrote in Proverbs 22:3, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." That is such a good verse that goes with this. The prudent man, the one who is wise and careful and cautious, he foresees the evil. He says this situation, this activity could lead to a bad experience. This could be a bad testimony. It could expand into something worse. It could make me addicted. It could do this. It could be a wedge in my life. And he sees that and he foresees the evil and he hides himself. He says, "I'm not going to do that. I'm going to get away from here. I'm going to flee that." But the simple, he says, "Don't worry. I'm okay. Don't worry about me. I'll be fine. It won't bother me. It won't trouble me." He passes on and he's punished. He gets involved in things and it just wrecks his life, or he'll actually stand before God someday and answer to God for what he's done. So this wedge principle is just another one of the seven principles we're going to be looking at here.